Today's study is titled The Angel of the Lord Encamps Around Those Who Fear Him. During my life, over the 60 years I have been a Christian, I have never heard anyone speak or teach about angels. There are many times in the Bible where angels are mentioned. We are reminded at Christmas how the angel Gabriel came to Mary to announce to her that she was going to have a son who was to be called Jesus. So let us ask the question, can angels still play a role in our lives today? Angels can appear in different guises, like in Genesis 18, when three men came to see Abraham and tell him that Sarah would have a son, although Sarah was old. In Genesis 18 verse 1 we read, "The Lord appeared to Abraham near the great tree of Mamre, while he was sitting at the entrance to his tent in the heat of the day. Abram looked up and saw three men standing nearby." It indicates that one of the three men was God himself, and the two others were angels. Angels can play a very important part in our life. The Apostle says in Hebrews 13:2, "Do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by so doing, some people have shown hospitality to angels without knowing." I would like to give a testimony about an angel visiting me when my car broke down. I was travelling through our local city when suddenly the engine started juddering and vibrating. So I pulled the car to the side of the road, then opened the engine cover, the bonnet, to see if what may have gone wrong. There was nothing obvious. As I was getting out the car, a man was approaching me on the pavement and asked me what was wrong with the car. As soon as I explained what was wrong, he immediately told me exactly what was wrong. It was a piece of metal had broken off the side of the engine exhaust. It was a weakness on that particular make and model of car. As soon as I had said thank you, he walked away and disappeared. Sure enough, when I dismantled that part of the exhaust, the manifold, sure enough, there was the gap of metal that there should have been, a dividing wall between two cylinders of the engine. This indeed was an angel. As well as angels coming in human form to help us, there are times when God sends his angels to guide us. We read in the Old Testament how God sent an angel ahead of Abraham's servant to guide him and help him to choose a bride for Abraham's son Isaac. We read in Genesis 24:1-7, "Abraham was now very old, and the Lord had blessed him in every way. He said to the senior servant in his household, the one in charge of all that he had, 'Put your hand under my thigh. I want you to swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of earth, that you will not get a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom we are living, but will go to my country and my own relatives and get a wife for my son Isaac.' The servant asked him, 'What if the woman is unwilling to come back with me to this land? Shall I then take your son back to the country you came from? Make sure that you do not take my son back there,' Abraham said. 'The Lord, the God of heaven, who brought me out of my father's household and my native land, and who spoke to me and promised me an oath, saying, to your offspring I will give this land, he will send his angel before you, so that you can get a wife for my son from there.' Indeed, God did send his angel ahead to guide the servant. As the servant arrived at the well in the country where Abraham's family lived, the lady, who was to be Isaac's wife, came to the well to draw water. We read in Genesis 24:15-16, Before he had finished praying, Rebekah came out with her jar on her shoulder. She was the daughter of Bethuel, son of Milcah, who was the wife of Abram's brother Nahor. The woman was very beautiful, a virgin. No man had slept with her. After the servant discovered who she was, he thanked God with a thankful heart. In Genesis 24, 26, 27, then the man bowed down and worshipped the Lord, saying, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who has not abandoned his kindness and faithfulness to my master. As for me, the Lord has led me on the journey to the home of my master's relatives." Just after Moses had led the Israelites out of Egypt, God reassured Moses he would be with him as he guided the people into the promised land. This is what God said to Moses in Exodus 23, 20 and 21. "See, I am sending an angel ahead of you to guard you along the way and bring you to the place I have prepared. Pay attention to him and listen to what he says. Do not rebel against him. He will not forgive your rebellion, since my name is in him." God gave these same encouraging verses to Chris and I through one of our Romanian prayer supporters. We had just received the invitation, an opportunity to work in a Christian orphanage in Romania, and for me to assist in managing the land. We most certainly saw the hand of God leading and guiding us. Indeed, the angel Lord did go ahead of us, leading and guiding us, and still is guiding us to this day. In our day-to-day activities, we can know the guidance and help of God by the Holy Spirit. But we can also know God's help and guidance in other ways. We read in Psalm 34:7, "The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them." Notice the angel encamps. This is a place where an army would camp for the night or rest while on an assignment. Like the armies of Israel today, the army would be relaxing, but constantly on alert, ready to face any adversaries. We read in Hebrews 1 to 14. We read in Hebrews 1 verse 14. "Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation?" Here we see the consignment by angels to minister to the needs of God's children. There can be a diverse number of acts of service done by angels. They can defend, protect, support, and guide. While Joyce Meyer, who is a prominent gifted teacher, was preaching, a lady attending one of Joyce Meyer's conferences saw angels all around Joyce to protect her from evil forces while she was preaching. Jesus had angels to minister to him just at the start of his 3 years ministry. After Satan attempted him, we read in Matthew 4:11, "Then the devil left him, and angels came to attend him." At the end of Jesus' ministry, just before he was captured and taken for trial in the Garden of Gethsemane, after Jesus had been praying, after he said to his Father this heart-rending plea in Luke 22:42-43, "Father, if you're willing to take this cup from me, yet not my will but yours be done," an angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. God promises to protect his people, as we read in Psalm 91:11 and 12. "For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." I would like to share two more testimonies how God protected his children. A senior member of our church leadership, Brian Merry, was a serving policeman. He was stationed in Coventry walking the streets when a gang of young men attacked him, badly bruising his face and breaking his jaw and nose. Suddenly, they all left him lying on the ground and fled. Brian was badly injured and needed hospital treatment, making graphic headlines in the local newspaper. Sometime later, the offenders were caught and sent to prison. Brian paid one of the offenders a visit while in prison and asked the question, "Why did you all suddenly run away?" He replied, "We saw a group of police officers running towards us, so we immediately ran." Brian had no knowledge of anyone close by and certainly not a group of police officers coming to his aid. It was indeed a group of God's angels sent to his rescue. So let me share another testimony told by a missionary working in Africa. A missionary in a very remote part of Africa every 2 weeks went to the city to buy medicine and supplies for the small field hospital where he served. One day on one of his trips, he saw two men fighting on the street. One was seriously injured, so he stopped, treated his injuries, and shared God's love with him. Then he headed for home, stopping in the jungle to camp overnight. When he visited the city 2 weeks later, a man approached him, the same one he'd ministered to on the previous trip. "I know you carried money and medicine with you, so our gang followed you to your camp, planning to kill you and take the money and the medicine and drugs. But just as we were about to attack you, we saw 26 armed guards surrounding you." "No way," the minister said. "I was all alone." "But sir, my five buddies saw them too. We counted them." Months later, when the missionary told this story back at his home church, a man interrupted, "Exactly what day did this take place?" When the missionary identified the specific day, the man was stunned. He said, "On that exact night in Africa, it was morning here, I felt a strange urge to pray for you. It was so strong that I called some men from our church to come and pray with me." The man then said, "Would all your men who prayed with me that day stand up?" One by one, the missionary counted them, 26, the exact number of the armed guards. I ask the question today, do folks still experience the visitation of angels? And yes, they most certainly do. There are many folk in our world that are struggling and burdened with the many traumatic trials of life. Many of them being hurt, they sense there must be more to life. What is the purpose of life? But God is looking down. He knows the hearts of mankind. He has compassion and wants to release them from the bondage of sin and strife. Within the Muslim community around the world, God is sending his angels and often Jesus himself to talk to them in dreams and visions. These folk who have met Jesus or an angel never doubt their authenticity. They just know. In these dreams and visions, your spirit can identify and understand a wider knowledge of what is happening around you. These dreams have a profound impact on folk. Often the angel will tell their hearers what or where to go to discover for themselves, through God's people, the true answers to life, to experience release and a renewed heart and mind by following Jesus. Subaydath is a daughter of an Islamic scholar and imam. When Jesus opened her eyes to the truth, Jesus also preserved her life from danger within her own family. Subadath was a successful student who considered herself a staunch Muslim. Despite her upbringing and religious training, there was one thing she lacked: peace of mind. As pressures at school mounted, so did her internal anxieties. One day, she discovered a Christian tract someone left in her dormitory. When she read the gospel for the first time, it resonated within her soul. But because of her family background, her heart was hardened against the message. After she read the tract, something unusual happened a few nights later. In a vivid dream, Jesus revealed himself to her, touched her with his nail-pierced hands, and said, "Do not be worried and upset. Believe in God the Father and also me, and for I am the Prince of Peace. I have been crucified, died, and resurrected to give you peace and eternal life." When she awakened the next morning, her mind swirled with questions. Was it just a dream or something more? Doubts overwhelmed her. She certainly could not believe in Jesus. After all, she was a devout Muslim and her father held an important position in the local mosque. But Jesus kept pursuing her heart. One day she went to the local well to get water. It was almost dark, and the ground nearby was very slippery. Suddenly, somehow, Subadath slipped, fell into the well, and lost consciousness. While unconscious, she had an awareness that Jesus pulled her out of the well and gently carried her to safety. She felt completely secure in his arms, like a child being cared for by a loving father and mother. When he set her down, he said, "I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me will live, even though they die. And those who live and believe in me will never die." At that moment, a seedling of faith germinated in her heart. "I believe in you, Lord, and my Saviour," she declared, and surrendered her life to Christ. This remarkable encounter happened when Subadath was seemingly unconscious. When she awakened, several people were gathered around, staring down at her. Miraculously, she was completely unhurt. She picked herself up and was able to walk home. When Subadath told her family about her experience and her commitment to Jesus, they got extremely upset and tried to talk her out of her decision. Nevertheless, she remained faithful and unmoved by their argument and began to grow in her faith. When they recognized she would not change her mind, her father and brother decided she must pay the ultimate price for dishonoring the family. They devised a crude electric chair by connecting an electric current to a metal chair. They stripped off most of Subadath's clothing and forcibly bound her to the chair. Despite her anguished cries and pleas, they would not relent. When she recognized what was about to happen, she made one final request: to hold her Bible. One of her brothers retrieved it from her room and threw it on her lap. When she felt it resting there, it brought a measure of peace to her soul. "If you want to die together with your false religion, so be it," her father declared. "This will show you what that your religion is powerless," her brother added. When her father flipped the switch to send high voltage through the chair, nothing happened. They double-checked the connection, tried different outlets and sockets, but it was as if the electricity refused to flow. Her father got so angry and frustrated he beat her once more and screamed, "You're no longer my daughter," then threw her out of the house, half naked. With tears streaming down her face, filled with humiliation and pain, she ran to a Christian friend's home across town. The following day, her friends asked their neighbours what they thought when they saw a half-naked woman running through the streets. One of the neighbours happened to see Subhadath that night, but he reported that he saw her wearing a beautiful white dress. She believes God hid her nakedness, clothed her in that white dress, just as he took away her shame and covered her with the righteousness of Christ. Subhadath remains a faithful servant of Jesus Christ and is active in the underground church with Paul Synagogue Ministries. Are we ready to respond to God's call to meet these folk searching for the truth, searching for purpose to life? If you feel the call of God, he will enable you and equip you to lead these folk to Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. The Apostle Paul in Acts 2:21 says, "And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." I would like to share another testimony of how God used an angel to guide a Christian to visit a supermarket in order that a Muslim man would be led to meet Jesus. Recently, this story was forwarded to me. It is an experience that Alexandru Lordan had. God said, "Alex, go in Asda and worship me on your knees." Whoa, what a day. So while I was out for a walk, God told me to walk in Asda, go on my knees and worship him. While I was on my knees, just worshipping him, a Muslim walked in and he began to cry. He said, "Yesterday night I had a dream. There was this man in white shining clothes and told me to come to this shop in the morning to this exact hour. And the person I'm going to meet is on his knees singing with tears in his eyes." This man repented and turned to Jesus right on the spot. Now I know that Jesus is the only way. In our conversations with friends and families, there are many questions to life that we do not have all the answers, but we know the one who does have all the answers to life challenges. It is Jesus, which this closing song declares. Yes, some call him Saviour, the Redeemer of all men, but I call him Jesus. He's still my closest and he's my dearest friend.
Make it all. Yes, I.